Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for December 8th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Wow, last hour we talked a lot about the Donald. He's picked Iowa Governor Terry Branstad as the ambassador to China. And by the way, Terry's a friend of Beijing. The Iowa governor needing to export all kinds of corn and grains and everything else to China. That's interesting. Trump picks Scott Pruitt, the Oklahoma Attorney General, friend of oil, friend of fossil fuels, is his choice to lead up the EPA. The EPA, no doubt, will be changed under Scott Pruitt. Trump has settled on General John F. Kelly, a retired Marine four-star general, to lead Homeland Security. I hope he's not too hawkish. Time will tell. A flawed missile defense system generates $2 billion in bonuses for Boeing. No wonder Donald says cancel order Boeing. You got to get it together. Hopefully, Donald, as a businessman, will get rid of the waste, the fraud in government. Donald Trump's message sparks anger in China. They say the president-elect's Taiwan call says that his approach will be more adversarial with China. That may be true. And as long as we don't push too hard, but we set the standard, we may change the game in a beneficial way. Trump literally, they say the Chinese are now saying he's a rookie negotiator. Good luck with that one. Look how Donald has masterfully negotiated his way to the top office in the land. The leader of the free world. And now look how Donald has masterfully dealt with his foes. I mean, literally Mitt Romney, one of the greatest foes of the Donald, literally running around saying Donald's great. All right? He's got the Republicans who were against it. You know what? All pretty much saying, hey, we're going to work with the Donald now. Even Democrats are filing to the Trump Tower to meet with Donald ahead of his inauguration. Trump now invites some of his most critical adversaries, the tech world in Silicon Valley, to the round table next week. They're going to be discussing things. Well, even Trump thinks round table is a good idea. Trump, why don't you join us on Liberty Roundtable? We're kind of the mother of all roundtables, if you don't know. All right. Wow. Anyway, Kurt, you've got some updates on some of these leaders we talked about a little bit last hour, right? All right. We'll try to see if we can get Kurt back. I don't know what happened with that.
You can't
hear
me?
There we go. Yep, you're perfect.
Huh, that's weird. All right, when I came, anyway, I'll tell you what I've got on the Pruitt guy, who, yeah. You know, this is Wikipedia stuff.
So this is Scott Pruitt, you know, the Oklahoma Attorney General, that they're thinking about heading the EPA, right?
Yeah, I guess he's been, you know, as long as he gets approved, he's in. But anyway, they say he was pleased with the decision of the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling in favor of Hobby Lobby. You know, and I remember that as being pretty cool.
And that was the battle over, just so everybody knows, that was the battle over employees having the ability to not be involved, or the company not be forced to be involved in
birth control
and abortion, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and apparently he's, you know, basically filed a brief with the Supreme Court in support of their position that the owners of privately held companies need not provide their employees with birth control. I guess he said the founders established a constitution to protect Americans' religious freedom from an intrusive federal government. Today's ruling solidifies the principle that our religion is not a silent practice confined to the four walls of a church, but it's an opportunity to live out our faith in the public square, end quote. Whoa, that's pretty good stuff. Maybe anyway, if old Sessions doesn't stick around for Attorney General, then you can move him in or something. Anyway, Pruitt maintained in 2013, I guess, that the Supreme Court's decision to strike down a provision of DOMA, remember that's that something about Marriage Act, Defense of Marriage Act, that's what it is, a federal law that denied federal benefits to homosexual married couples, they say it didn't affect Oklahoma's laws on the subject. You know, so in other words, the states have a separation from the federal government. The feds can't just tell them everything to do. Pruitt expressed his dissatisfaction when a federal court ruled that Oklahoma's voter-approved amendment in 2004 to the Oklahoma state constitution that defined marriage as only the union of one man and one woman was a violation of the U.S. Constitution in 2014. So he was ticked off about that. In October of 2014, Pruitt criticized the Supreme Court's refusal to hear Oklahoma's appeal in the definition of marriage case. I guess he even came to bat about some eggs, Sam. Apparently, he joined a lawsuit targeting California's prohibition on the sale of eggs laid by caged hens kept in conditions more restrictive than those approved by California voters. He's got some interesting stuff there, at least that I can see, that you could have made some other, you know, stories up. I guess he even got him to rule against the IRS.
Well, you gotta like that, Kurt. I mean, if there's things to like, that's one of them, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah, good point.
Wow.
So anyway, who knows for sure, you know, but that's some stuff we could dig up a little bit on him, you know. You never know what the real truth is until you dig, and even then you think, well, maybe there's more, you know.
Yeah, amen to that. And that's why I say we got to give Donald a chance, Kurt.
Yeah, good point.
A lot of these people we don't know that well. And believe it or not, just because somebody's been in government, you know, I know we want to say that concerns us, and I justifiably so. At the same time, it doesn't mean that somebody's a bad guy. Now, and I kind of mentioned this yesterday. I think we were having a discussion, me and Kurt Crosby and Richard Mack. And I mentioned that I said, you know, just because somebody's in government, that doesn't mean they're bad. They may be there, and a lot of the decisions may be against what they believe or they want or they would do if given the chance. So a lot of these leaders, Kurt, may act and behave differently. And you wisely said, you know what? I said, well, what about these crazy guys going there? And you said, Kurt, Sam, if they can put them there, if Donald can put them there, he can take them out, right? And that's a wise point of that course. You've got, Kurt. Yeah. And so all I'm telling you is a lot of these people, given the chance, may do a lot different than we've seen them do in the past. And judging them, if they've served in a position, oftentimes they can't go contrary to the leader. And you would say, well, why don't they just quit, or why don't they? Well, a lot of these people believe, well, it's not perfect that I'm here. I can't get done what I would do if I were given the chance, but I could stop a lot of worse things from happening. There's some truth to all those points, Kurt. Mm-hmm. And we got to give enough chance to find out about a lot of these things. We really do. All right, any more on that?
Yeah, I don't see any more on that one there. But you want to go to this roundtable thing?
Well,
with the tech leaders.
Well, we talked about that. You have more on it?
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean.
So Trump invites tech leaders to the roundtable next week to discuss issues, right?
And you got that Peter Thiel guy, and he's a big shot, you know. They say that there's a few people that may not be showing up, like Meg Whitman, the CEO of Hewlett-Packard. She says she won't attend. She came out. She self-named herself a proud Republican who had supported Trump rival Hillary Clinton in the campaign. Then you got some other Silicon Valley companies such as Alphabet's Google declined to comment. Facebook declined to comment whether it would attend next week's tech roundtable. Thiel sits on the board of the giant social network, so you know, I think they'll be attending because, you know. Anyway, bottom line is, like you said, Trump is, you know, doing things differently as far as I can see.
Well, and in my opinion, that shaking it up is key. Yeah. And again, all these critics of Donald, they were so critical before Kurt. Now they're all hoping to sit down with Donald, aren't they?
Yeah. Good point.
Things change in a hurry, folks. And the mainstream fake news peddlers always said, oh, Donald can't do that. Donald can't do that. Donald will never win over this. Donald will never accomplish. They've been wrong on almost every item, Kurt. I guess we better shut down the mainstream press. They're peddling too much fake news these days, huh? All right, Sam and Kurt in seconds on your radio. What about the five hardest things for Donald to keep his promises and the easiest, huh?
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
My sister was smoking, and I watched her. She asked me if I wanted some, and I said sure, and she taught me how to smoke, and that was my first experience.
Every day, an estimated 3,000 teens start smoking.
Both my parents smoke. I mean, seeing them smoke, watching them, thinking, well, I do it, it's not going to hurt me.
Smoking sends mixed messages to your children.
They just recently found out. I just told my mom, so she was shocked, very shocked.
I think parents have a big influence on whether or not their children smoke, because even if the parent says that they don't agree with it, it really doesn't hold a lot of water. I mean, you can say, I don't agree with you smoking, but when you light up 5 minutes later, it doesn't hold a lot of water.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby. On your radio, hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. So the New York Times writes an article. It's the Washington section. And the headline is, the five easiest and five most difficult promises for Donald Trump to keep. And then they say, after he takes the Oval Office January 20th, here are five of the most difficult and five of the most easiest promises for the Donald to keep. Kurt, you're back. You sound great now. And this is an interesting list because I don't really see 10 things here, depending on how you slice it up. But they talk about prevent American companies from moving jobs to other countries. And they say companies move to other countries to pursue higher profits. And Mr. Trump cannot force them to stay. The question is whether he can make it profitable to do so. It's difficult because labor is much cheaper in other countries. They give an example of Carrier paying their employees in their Indiana factory an average hourly wage of $23 an hour. That's roughly four times what it will cost for the same jobs or workers in Mexico. Now, I just want to stop there and say this is where the liberals just don't understand. The founding fathers in the supreme law of the land put tariffs as one of the great ways to reduce expenses on the American people and to increase expenses on companies that don't play fair. In other words, don't have a level playing field of the free market. And so you don't have to do much but reduce taxes on the American people. Let's say you reduce taxes 5, 10, 15, 20 points on the American people, and you put a border tax of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10%. That alone makes a massive change in dollars. Instantly, Americans are doubly rich. One, on the less taxes on themselves, and two, on the, well, other guys. You would say, well, no, Sam, that just makes products cost more. And my response is, yeah, but you got more money to pay for those products. It also makes it possible for Americans to compete. We don't have a problem with competition, folks. But the problem with competition is you got to have an appropriate respect for playing field. Let me give you an example. If I work and my wife stays at home and I have two cars and a nice big house and my kids eat nice food, chicken and steak and whatever, and I send my children to nice schools and et cetera, I've got a lifestyle that's expensive. I cannot compete with a guy that's willing to work all day, twice as long as I work for a bowl of rice, and he lives in a hut with a dirt floor. I'll never compete with that kind of a scenario. And that's what the debate is. It's not a matter of who can work cheaper. In theory, we can all work across the world for the same cost. If we're willing to live in a dirt hut and have a bowl of rice and that's all we demand. These other countries, though, can't demand anything different. They don't have any freedoms to do that. That's the disparity. That's the reality. And so, yes, you could say, well, Sam, it's a little bit of protectionism to defend our wages, our way of life, our circumstances. That's right. And it's justifiably so. And the wisdom of the founders have proved successful. It works. So Donald has plenty of ability to solve this one, even though the mainstream lies and says he'll never get this one done. This is the hardest thing, they say, for Donald to accomplish. I don't think so. Kurt, are you back? You want to chime in on this?
Well, it makes perfect sense to me, it's like you're a protectionist. Well, isn't that what a policeman is? Isn't that what the military is? You're supposed to protect your people, the people that you need to protect against bullies or bad guys, you know. And here we have your country, you know, and your businesses and your people being able to work, and yet they get many times attacked, economically attacked by other countries where they subsidize either with slave labor or, you know, other ways so that they can take over parts of we shouldn't think this is such a big surprise.
Let me give you this example.
You see,
Kurt,
this on a local basis, you know.
Let me give you the example of the ignorance of the New York Times and these authors, Kurt. They say this. Now listen carefully. Mr. Trump has promised tax cuts and regulatory relief. And then they say this, but those are minor expenses for most companies, particularly in comparison to payrolls. Now, let me stop you there for a second and say, have these people lost their minds, Kurt? What is the biggest expense you have, bar none?
You're talking about me particularly?
Yeah.
Well, then, I mean, if you don't think that taxes
it's a minor
are a big
part
expense,
they claim, Kurt.
You know, you look at the numbers, you know, the folks at National Taxpayers Union and others who will track how much, you know, of the American economy is sucked up by taxes. They estimate it's about 60%.
All right, so
and
let me
that
stop
doesn't
you
even include the regulation.
That's right.
So
the
60,
biggest expense
yeah.
you have by far, Kurt,
yep.
by far, is taxes. We haven't even touched regulatory discussions yet.
That's
now,
right.
Your house usually is 20-30% of your income, depending on who you are about, right? I used to make a living in mortgages. I happen to
know
this.
In mortgages. Yeah,
right now.
That's right.
Okay, so taxes is double your house. And they say your house is one of your most expensive issues. Insurance is another one. And then these guys are running around going, oh, yeah, that's just the taxes, Kurt, and the regulation. They say they're minor expenses, Kurt, for most companies, particularly compared to payroll.
That's
now,
nuts.
They don't have a clue, Kurt.
Nuts.
They're absolutely ignorant. Okay, now, then they say, you know, compared to wages, and my response is this. If I put a 10% tariff at the border, what's it going to do to the wages in China? For them to sell their products,
well,
they've got now a floor or a landed cost, whatever term you want to use, a cost of goods, if you will, 10% higher instantly, Kurt. That means wages have got to go up at least equivalent.
In China?
Or anywhere that we put a tariff.
Yeah, at least, you know,
it can
what
be China,
we know
it can be Mexico,
that they
whatever
do.
Whatever companies we're dealing with, Kurt, I'm sorry, whatever countries, it relates directly to that.
Well, what we know that they do is they take people, many times, you know, they call them dissidents, but people that don't agree with maybe the official Communist Party line, and they, you know, work them like slaves, you know, and then many times they'll even harvest their organs. In other words, they just kill them and treat them like they were some kind of an animal. And yet we reward them with our most favored nation trade.
Now then they say the next most ignorant thing I've ever heard, Kurt. They say Donald has also threatened to impose new taxes on imports. He's not talking about a tax on an import, Kurt.
That's a tariff, right?
That's right. And taxes and tariffs, no offense, are completely different things, Kurt. Go look up the words.
And
they're not even related. Now, it's interesting.
And just a little tip for the New York Times. Just imagine if some of those steel workers that used to have a job in America that now get a government check because they don't have work. Imagine if they had a job. And they weren't getting a government check.
That's exactly
but
right.
But they could participate. What would the picture be?
Then they say this.
United States.
They say Trump can't target particular companies. That's true. However, listen carefully. They say any such tariffs would have to be broad and therefore broadly painful. I'm going to talk about that because they're ignorant again.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. Major corporate contractors for the Homeland Security Department expect to thrive under the incoming Trump administration, assuming that the president-elect makes good on his promise to expand immigration enforcement and deportation of illegal immigrants. The Intercept reports that Leidos, Infosys, and CACI International, among the largest defense contractors in the U.S., have told investors in recent days that they are poised to take advantage of Trump's immigration policies. In remarks at an investor conference in Palm Beach, Florida, CACI Chief Financial Officer Tom Mutryn was asked by Rob Springarn, an analyst for Credit Suisse, if the contractor would have an opportunity to play a role in the new administration. "Yes, I think absolutely yes," Mutrin replied, explaining that CACI can provide a better system to kind of track people in the United States, an IT system where there's a more robust visibility into people who are living in the United States. At a separate investors' conference held that same day in Boca Raton, Unisys Chief Financial Officer Inder Singh boasted that his company has received Homeland Security contracts to develop and deploy facial recognition technology at New York's JFK International Airport. The company now has 1,000 employees with security clearances who are tasked to screen all passengers entering and exiting the United States through any border. The same technology is applied to license plate scanners that can identify who's in the vehicle, who owns the vehicle, and what's the history of the vehicle. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, "Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about?" Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Kurt, so I want to talk to you about this. I happen to know a little bit about it because I deal with it in business every single day. Tariffs or duties. You got an import and an export tariff and or duty. You can call it a tax if you want, but it's a little misleading. The reality is you're going to basically boost the wages of Americans because they're going to have jobs. You're going to put tariffs or duties on different products. It's true you can't single out specific companies, Kurt. Donald doesn't have the power to do that. But he can do it country by country and product by product. And if you don't believe me, go study. Right now, I work for companies that have tons of products, and they all have different duty rates right now to import, Kurt. They're import tariffs. And just so you know, for example, like backpacks or sleeping bags or cots or tents or, you know, computer parts or, I mean, the list goes on. Everything has a duty to it, Kurt. Some of them are zero. Some of them cost big time. Some of them are up to 18%. And so these New York Times people are so ignorant, they don't realize we're already doing this. Kurt, if I import five products from China, they don't all have the same duties or tariffs on them, Kurt. Did you know that? That's happening right this very second. It happens every day in America. And those who tell you it's not happening are absolutely ignorant. They act like, well, we got free trade everywhere. It's a lie. It isn't true at all. Kurt, you want to chime in on this? This is amazing. These people act like if Donald were to increase tariffs on things, that somehow it would just melt down, that he can't do it, that it wouldn't work. And it's already being done, Kurt.
That's a great point, Sam. And, I believe that's what needs to be done. You have to treat each situation differently depending on, hey, how the country's doing, you know, all that kind of stuff. And Patriot printing happening right now as we speak, Sam.
All right. So here's what they say then. They ignorantly go on and they talk about this, Kurt. They say there's only two ways to increase economic growth. Increase the number of workers or increase productivity. That is the amount of output a worker provides. Do you agree with that, Kurt?
Can you say that one more time?
Yeah, there's only two ways, they say, to increase economic growth. That is, one, increase the number of workers, or two, increase the output from a given worker. Do you agree that's the only way to have economic growth?
I think that's partially true, but
no, it's not true at all.
It depends on how you define economic growth. Job, yeah, and I mean, imagine if we had this whole idea of honest money and people's rights. We respected them. You know, we didn't just buy things at the lowest bidder. You know, even if they had slave labor. You know, just imagine if we stood up for even people's rights in China and other places.
Exactly. I think this is a lie, though. That's not the only two ways to have economic growth, Kurt. Because I got to ask you a question. What is economic growth? Okay, you got to define that term. They would say it means more fiat currency into the system. It means more people producing more product, etc. And I don't believe that's economic growth, Kurt. That's just the Keynesian economic lie that says we got to have more, faster, better, all the time, bigger, whatever. It's always got to just grow one direction. I just submit to you that's nothing but a moral hazard growth scenario that in all societies that have used fiat currency based on a Keynesian lies, it always fails, Kurt. And the only way that it can stay alive is to snowball till the ultimate crash. Okay, it's a lie. Let me give you an example. Let's say that I decide, Kurt, it costs me $100,000 a year to live, and I bring in $100,000. I got zero, right? Now, let's say that they say that I bring in $200,000, that it cost me $200,000 to live. They would call that economic growth, Kurt. Would you?
I would sure question that.
Let's say I bring in $1,000,000 and I spend $1,000,000. Is that economic growth, Kurt?
I don't think so.
Okay, what if I only bring in $50,000 now? I've gone the other direction, right? But it only cost me $20,000 to live now. I've moved to a smaller house. I've decided that I'm not going to have the government insurance. I've decided that I'm going to not go out to eat every day. And now I bring in only $50,000, but I only spend $20,000 to live, and I can save $30,000 a year. Is that economic growth?
I think that is.
Okay, but they would say that it's not, Kurt. In fact, we're melting down. And so the New York Times literally says a similar scenario. They say the growth of the American workforce is slowing as baby boomers retire and families have fewer children, limiting another source of workers. So there you have it. They literally believe that. How do you define economic growth? If you follow the lie of Keynesian economics based on fiat currency, well, they may be correct, Kurt, because it's the only way the thing won't crumble and fail. They say there's few obvious means for Donald Trump to deliver on his promise. Then they go on to investing in infrastructure to create jobs. Now, Donald can do that, and that's what he probably will do. But here's my point. What if I then, Kurt, listen carefully. What if I then took money out of the economy entirely? And I said, you know what? We're not going to use money at all. We're going to use a barter system. So I go over to Kurt and give Kurt get some raw honey and some meat, some beef from Kurt. And then Kurt has a problem with his computer, and I go over there and I say, you know what? I took meat and honey from you, and so I owe you this much money. I'll work on your computer. And I get his computer done. And then he fires up Patriot Printing and he prints something else for somebody. And we all do this and there's no money, Kurt. Is there economic growth?
I think so.
They would say no, Kurt. Of course not. I mean, how could there be economic growth, Kurt? How are you going to measure domestic output or worker output? We haven't hired any new workers, have we, Kurt? There might be less domestic output, but we might require less, Kurt.
A little less government being able to track things.
Yeah. So they would go, oh my gosh, the economy's just melted off the cliff. No one's working. Nobody has jobs anymore. No one's paying the tax, man. They don't even understand economics at all, Kurt. It's amazing. It's just crazy. Anyway, they go on and on and on and on in this article. And it's got all these different items in it. And they try to tell you how hard or easy it will be, Kurt, for Donald to deliver on those promises. But, Kurt, they're accepting the lie that Donald won't change the whole discussion. They're going with the current lies that they've understood their whole lives, these people. And they're trying to judge Donald on that lie. Okay? And they're going to lose at that. It's kind of like how they lost control of the media. They believed that those gatekeepers would stay there forever. They were literally like a godsend. And you know what? That's their right. That's their role. And they underestimated that the people don't want that anymore. They've done the same thing with the leadership in America. They said, oh, nobody will go for whacked out Donnie. They're going to go for Hillary. She's a tried and true government experienced insider, and they'll go for that. And they miscalculated. And they're miscalculating on this whole discussion point about the five hardest and five easiest things for Donald to do. Donald can prevent companies from moving jobs to other countries if he gets cooperation from Congress very easily. Increase American economic growth to more than 4% a year. That can be done easily too, Kurt. But it all depends on how you define economic growth. And if you fall for the lies the way they've defined it now, he probably can't, Kurt. But another example is this unemployment rate, Kurt. They tell you the unemployment rate's like 5% now or something crazy. But then we hear there's like 100 million adult workers not at work. How does that stack up? And the answer is it's all how you define terms. They lie by defining the terms the way they want to for their own manipulative agenda. All you got to do is define things logically, and then pretty soon they'll make sense. Okay, they talk about build a great wall on our southern border and have Mexico pay for it. That's going to be really hard for Donald to do, they say. Depends on what you mean by have the Mexicans pay for it, Kurt. What does that mean? Does that mean they write out a check, or does that mean we just change the trade deficit game enough to cover the cost? How does that work, Kurt?
It's a great question, Sam. And, in my opinion, when you look at all these things, he's making some pretty impressive moves. I was looking through the story about the Branstad pick. That's the governor of Iowa. And the pick there by Trump for ambassador to China. And they say that the guy, he's 70 years old. He served as governor there in Iowa twice. He's currently serving and served before. But it's impressive. I think he might be a good move.
We'll talk about it in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so back with you live. So it's all about definitions, Curtin. It's all how they play the game on how hard or easy it'll be for Donald to deal with these things. Let me give you an example really quick. They lie and tell you the unemployment rate's like 5% or thereabouts. I don't even know the latest number. Whatever it is, they claim that, you know, no jobs are created hardly, but the number went down, and they have all these weird things that don't make any sense. But, Kurt, about 100 million workers are out of work. But here's the deal. The way the government defines it, they've changed the way they define things. And so if I'm out of work, but I'm not looking for a job, according to their records, then they say that I don't count as being unemployed. But I may be looking for a job. I may just not be looking for it on unemployment or in the government records somehow. I may be employed, self-employed. I may be employed under the table. I may be employed a gazillion ways, but they don't count it. And so it's amazing, but the reality is if you were to change these numbers to talk about the adult population and how many of them are literally employed versus not employed, in a real number, not games about how we track statistics, but real numbers, facts. You either are working or not working. Forget if you want to be working or if you're not or if you're looking for a job or all those other weird qualifiers. You're either working or not working as an adult. There's 100 million American adults not in the labor force, Kurt. I don't care how you look at it. That number is like depression, unemployment rates. But because you got all this false prosperity in the economy, you got kids going to school on government student loans, you got the list goes on and on and on. It looks like everything's okay. It feels like everything's okay. But it's not. And so if you change the game, you could literally, by redefining the definition of unemployed to a reality number, not a fake manipulated number based on their weird snapshots to make it sound awesome, the numbers would be through the roof instantly just with a definition change. And I bring all that up because that's the whole thing with Donald Trump, Kurt. When you talk about Mexicans building the wall, how do we define they pay for the wall, Kurt? If we say, oh, each Mexican's going to write out their little dollar check to cover their cost, no. If you talk about the government of Mexico writing out a check to pay for it, probably not. But if you say, look, we give Mexico $100 million a year, and I'm just using simple examples. These aren't real numbers. And then I say, look, we're only going to give you $70 million, and we're going to take that $30 we used to give you and pay for the wall. It's the debate, who paid for it? Did the taxpayers pay for it, or did Mexico? Well, both did, really, right? We paid for it because the taxpayers are getting schnookered, but the Mexicans paid for it because that's money they're not getting anymore. How do you define pay for the wall? And so, you know, a lot of this is up to definitions, Kurt. And this example that you mentioned, what's this guy's name that's going to be dealing with China? And you felt like it was pretty good news?
Branstad. Yeah, all right. Terry Branstad.
Now, all he's got to do is work on a way to say, look, we're going to export grain to you. We're going to export a lot of our exports to you. We're going to have a more of a parity on the trade balance here. The question is, can they make progress on that trade balance towards greater parity, towards a more realistic trade situation? I think they can, Kurt, if Congress has the stomach for it. All right, any last thoughts on this guy?
You know, the main thing that looks good about it to me is apparently he's a big pal of the leader of China, which, you know, it's nice to have friends, you know, between countries. It's so much better than just shooting them or blowing them up.
Now, here's what's fascinating. So Donald makes some negative rhetoric to China and hires a friend of China as his leader on this in this area. All they do is
Chinese talk, ambassador.
Yeah. All they do, though, is attack Donald, saying, oh, my gosh, he's going to melt down with China. One's an action. Hire somebody friendly to China. The other one's a little bit of rhetoric designed to set the stage for change discussions. But all the mainstream press can do is attack Donald, Kurt. And I'm saying I see a very different picture. It's all how you define an adversarial relationship with China. If we get a better deal out of China, is that adversarial, Kurt?
That's a great point, Sam. I don't think it's adversarial. I think it's more of a fair deal.
Chinese might say this. We've been hosing you guys for so long. I get that you want a little more fair of a deal. That's fine. They may even acknowledge it, Kurt. If you're giving me $1 million a year, and then all of a sudden you come back and say, Sam, I'm only going to give you $500 a year now. $500,000 a year, not $1 million anymore. It's only $500,000. I might just smile and go, okay, no problem, Kurt. Appreciate that, my friend. I know it's not as good a deal as I once got, but I might be just fine with it. See, I think that's kind of the scenario we're dealing with, Kurt. But not if you believe the sky is falling chicken little thugs that just run around and act like everything anybody does that changes their global lie, then, you know, there you go. All right. Any other tidbits on any of that?
Yeah, he said, here's what the Branstad said, and the Des Moines Register, by the way, not in the New York Times or any, you know, so this is an Iowa local paper there. And he says, I've known President Xi Jinping, I don't know if I said it right, but that's my best guess, for many years and consider him an old friend. I look forward to building on our long friendship to cultivate and strengthen the relationship between our two countries and to benefit our economy. You know, I mean, they in other parts, they talked about selling more pork and more food and stuff to China. You know, so, I mean, that would make sense. You know, it's kind of like it's nice to have friends that you deal with instead of that you just, you know, shoot missiles at, you know. I mean, isn't that the best way to be working together in world business, I guess you could say?
Yes, Kurt, it is fascinating to me what Donald's doing, and it's amazing to me that the mainstream press can't even see this. Donald's playing a little bit of good cop, bad cop right now, isn't he, Kurt? Donald's the globalistic on rhetoric guy, and this other guy's speaking kindness.
That's right.
And then what they all do is sit down at the table and go, and the kindness guy goes, you know, Donald's a little extreme, I know, but you got to love Donald, don't you? He's kind of comical, and then Donald says, no, listen to me, people. We do have a real problem here. And that problem is going to change. It just is. You got that? Now, we're not talking about if it's going to change. We're talking about how it'll change. And then you sit back smile and let the friends work some things out, but you set some ground rules. That's what's being done here, Kurt. Can't these guys see this?
Here's a Trump spokesman, Jason Miller, in the same article from the Des Moines Register. He noted that experience talking about the experience of Branstad, you know, helping promote Iowa agricultural products to China and other stuff like that. And it wouldn't be just Iowa products, you know, I mean, the whole Midwest and all that kind of stuff. But he says, Governor Branstad, obviously, as Iowa's long-serving governor, is someone who has considerable public policy experience, but also someone who has a lot of experience and great grasp of trade issues, agriculture issues, has a tremendous understanding of China and Chinese people. It's very clear that Governor Branstad is someone who will represent our country well on the world stage.
Sounds like Donald's a lot more shrewd than they're giving him credit for is the bottom line, Kurt. Now, there's an elector that says,
statement...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was going to say the statement announcing his appointment described Branstad's role as twofold: to negotiate fair trade deals that create American jobs, increase American wages, and reduce America's trade deficit, and to implement an America First foreign policy that will advance America's core national interests and promote regional stability. I mean, imagine that.
And that sounds crazy, because that's off the rails. No experience, rookie. See what I mean? It's just amazing. These guys, again, the mainstream press is so hateful of the Donald, so pro-globalist agenda, so free trade psychotic, that they can't see the forest through the trees, Kurt. They just can't get it. And they're going to miss it again. And they're going to continue to peddle fake news.
The king men and the free men.
Yes. They're going to continue to peddle fake news and miss the boat once again, and then wonder why they were left on the sidelines. Some negotiators they are, huh? All right, I guess this elector's not going to vote for Donald now, Kurt.
Yeah, there's one guy that, I mean, at least that's come out, and this guy's from Texas, Sam, which I found interesting. But, you know, and this was, you know, some big got some big media coverage just a little while back, and but it seems like to me it's kind of petered out. But he basically says, hey, I'm you know, a Republican elector, and I'm from Texas, and he tells his name and everything, and he says, and I'm not going to vote for Trump, even though, you know, I'm supposed to. You know, and I call on all the other guys, the 538 or whatever there are, you know, everybody else to vote for somebody of principle. And way down at the end of his story, you'll read that, you know, he's hoping for, like, what's the guy from Ohio? You know, the governor of Ohio that didn't, Kasich. You know, that's what he's hoping to replace Trump with. I just don't see it happening.
Well, all I can tell you this is that Republicans' days are over, Kurt.
Yeah, right? I think so, too.
I mean, I'm just saying... What happened to all the other foes that defied the Donald? Any idea? Yeah, they all either capitulated or on the outs, aren't they? There you have it. All right, 2 hours in the can. I'm just telling you, Donald Trump needs to be given a chance. Donald Trump is like a fox. Donald Trump is very shrewd. Do not, I'm going to say it again, do not, I'm going to say it one more time, do not underestimate Donald Trump, is all I'm telling you. Give him a chance. Let's see where this goes, folks. Thanks for being alongside with the ride. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsDaily.com, and LibertyNewsRadio.com. Donate and get involved today. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will make America great again. This nation shall endure.